Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Oh, I am so very excited for today's show, but let me get some of the business out of the way first before we go anywhere. Remind you guys to send the emails. We love them at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. The voicemails, you're doing a wonderful job with that. I will regale my current guest with some of those glorious tones that you bring us. 818-253-1693 is the number. 818-253-1693. And I got to, for my wife, get some business out of the way. The Dr. Drew podcast, Adam and Dr. Drew show, This Life, hashtag You Live. And go to drdrew.com for all the stuff there. And as always, of course, this show, which we appreciate. And we appreciate our new guest, our next guest, Heather McDonald. This is so exciting, Heather.
I'm so excited to be here.
I wanted you on this show for quite some time. I thought we'd have fun together.
Thank you. Always have fun together.
We do. And I want to get back on Juicy Scoop and get Juicy Scoop and get another update on your brother.
Oh, well, that's coming around the corner.
Is it? Is he still in prison?
He is still in prison. And he might be getting out soon.
I bet you, you guys in the control room, that he's one of the cool guys that watches this show. I'm pretty sure of it.
Makes him so cool?
Oh, God. You know, it's scary because he has a weird, his trigger is kind of me and thinking I'm like, took all of his money because he's the firstborn male, even though we're from the same parents. So his trigger is like bringing up how much my college education cost.
Oh, I see.
And that I therefore took away from his inheritance. And you know how like some psychotic people, it's like they think aliens are following him.
Yeah.
It's that I did a stand-up special 4 years ago.
And that's...
And he thinks I have like millions of dollars from it.
Oh, I see.
So I'm hoping other comedians will chime in and let him know that I do not.
No, it doesn't and work
yes.
that way.
So yeah, he's constantly like, you know... I need this. I need this. And then Peter would be nice and like
Peter, your husband.
Yes, and would like say, hey, we're not going to give you a condo when you get out, and we're not going to give you birthday presents. But here's a book, and we sent him a couple books. We sent him Caitlyn Jenner's book because I thought he would enjoy it, and he did. We sent him David Spade's book, and then he's like, thanks for the books, but God, I mean, Heather has millions of dollars, and then he does this like weird math of like how much my USC education cost and my high school, what I spent on my stepdaughter's high school, and why he should then get a portion of.
Oh boy.
It's this crazy math thing.
Your husband, Peter, spends a lot of time managing your family.
Yes.
Your family of origin.
You know what? It's a bummer to have some losers in your family because then that makes up for like anything that he does wrong. Because his family, no one is in prison. No one, he doesn't have a restraining order against anyone.
So he can really fuck up essentially.
Exactly.
And then, look at those guys.
And everybody,
your family.
And everybody like you is like, Peter's a saint. So it makes it very difficult. Anyway, we don't know what's going to happen. We were hoping to move into a gated community. By the time my brother got out, that was the goal.
And this is not just to protect you from your brother.
No, this is to protect
your brother and your sister.
My sister, yeah, but now I'm not worried about my sister anymore.
Okay.
She lives farther away. Like, right. She's been chill.
Okay, good.
But the brother coming out, he actually did a letter that threatened us with a drawing of a guy with a machete. I guess he paid somebody in prison two cans of soup to draw whatever. And
wow, this is getting interesting. And this is all on Juicy Scoop.
But he said he would spare the children.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, yeah, but good. And then when we, you know, made... It's a real threat, so we had to do what we had to do.
Yeah.
Then he wrote again and said, come on, God, Peter, I was joking. You know, so I don't know. But it freaks me out because I bought the house next door to my parents, which is not a smart thing to do when you have a psychotic brother because that's one address they won't forget.
Right.
So, like, my sister's behind gates 3 hours away, and the other siblings have moved several times. But, like, I am, you know, 2 miles from... a RTD and Target, like, you know, so it's So we were thinking about, okay, we'll get into a gated community.
Okay.
Before, but you know what?
He and his machete can just jump the fence.
I don't want to move. I don't want to move. Like, I really don't want to move. I like love my house.
My
house isn't that big, and I like that my teenagers are close.
Do your juicy scoopers advise you? Do they support
you? Yes, they all want me to.
What do they say?
They just are like, they get very scared about it. And I kind of do too, because.
See, much the way YMH has a dedicated fan base, Heather has this huge fan base that just are involved.
Yes.
They're very involved.
And 90% of my show is funny and entertaining, but some of it is my personal stuff, and I'm just so honest about it all because I'm not ashamed to have fucked up adult siblings. And I've given people the permission and to get rid of bad adult sibling relationships that are dysfunctional. And I kind of think I'm one of the first people that's somewhat, you know, on a platform to kind of say that. Because
right.
You always hear about, like, you have the horrible dad or the horrible mom or, you know, the awful ex-husband. But, like, when you're and a very common denominator is the big Irish Catholic family. Or not necessarily Irish, but Catholic and several children. There's always a couple black sheep, but the parents constantly make the black sheep have to come to everything.
Oh,
and,
I see.
And like everybody's like, God, until I heard your podcast, I finally was like, no, I'm fucking done with this weirdo. We may have lived under the same roof for 10 years of our life, but now you're 50. Get the fuck out. Like, it's just, it's very much of a...
Liberating.
It is.
And your sister, you had a crazy relationship with too.
My sister, she had a weird thing, a weird kind of crazy obsession. And that that fortunately... has gone away.
Which
the story was is just throughout my whole, really once I got married and had kids is when she got really bad. Because before she sort of was, it was sort of fun for her to go see my stand-up and stuff. And then there was something where it was like, wait a minute, how can you also have a husband and kids and have this kind of fun, somewhat famous life? Yes.
So jealous.
And it was just a lot of nightmares, a lot of, she got angry. She took the bridesmaid's dress from a couple of years prior and tried to light it on fire at
my
house.
Like on your front yard? Or?
Yes.
Oh,
it was a Nicole Miller. It looked just like Gwyneth Paltrow's Oscar dress.
Perhaps she would like to send Nadav a couple of videos because he would put them to good use, I assure you.
Yeah, Dr. Drew afterdark at gmail.com.
Oh, my God. So it was a lot of years of that, and then it got really escalated between my dad's death and my mom's death. And, you know, that was what was sort of weird and sad.
And you have one sister who's like a Supreme Court judge.
My one sister's a criminal defense attorney, and we're very close. However, our relationship was jeopardized during this traumatic time around both my parents' deaths, which was 7 months apart.
I remember that.
And
because she was taking care of your mom, right?
And she was the head of the trust, which I wouldn't wish on anyone.
No, I know.
And
it's
awful. I was like, please pay yourself for the hours of like, and, you know, there were times that the other siblings would like disappoint my parents and they're like, we're cutting them out of the will. I'm like, please, dear God, don't do that. It'll only make my life worse. We all just, there isn't a lot of money, but we all deserve a fifth. Who cares? And so what was sad and kind of strange is like when my mom did die and she died unexpectedly, it was like, I'm so sad. I miss her every day. I missed my dad yesterday, but there was this like weird relief. Mm. That you don't have to deal with these people anymore. Like, there's no guilt about Christmas. There's no
your mom
trauma.
Doesn't guilt you about it.
Yeah, there's no more jealousy about, like...
You can also be honest about your parents, too. About whatever else was in that relationship for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... I have such a good... I think my parents were just great, you know? But that's the other thing I kind of noticed when you have a lot of kids. Like, there were things that... I think I just... My personality balanced very well with both my parents. So, you know, when people say you have a favorite, I kind of have a theory that like, no, you don't have a favorite. It's just sometimes the kid is either so much like you that you get along or so much like you that you don't. And then there's another child that just is an easier flow. Like I just...
Like any other people out in the world.
Yeah. My mom was sort of snarky and there's certain things she would say that would maybe hurt my two other sisters, but I kind of had the same sense of humor. So I was like, oh God, you know, who cares? You know? So we just... There were things, and she would say snarky things to me too, but it just wouldn't bother me. So
right.
It's like, I think that was part of it too, the jealousy. And I was the youngest of five. That's another thing that my brother always brings up is that we weren't planned. My sister and I were not planned. And my mom had gone on the pill right after my
Catholic?
Crazy sister.
What?
Yes. And then a friend of hers got a blood clot from the pill.
Oh.
So she thought that was God saying, get off the pill.
Okay.
So she got off the pill and then she had my sister And then she had me. And then my dad found a priest in San Diego that would bless a vasectomy. And he drove down there.
Oh.
And after his vasectomy or before. I don't know. He didn't
show
up
in the operating room?
He wouldn't do it, but he would like forgive you for getting one.
Oh, I see.
Because my dad was like, I cannot.
He gave him a couple of rosaries and Hail Marys. And...
But what's weird is like I knew those details.
Do you still
like,
carry all the Catholic shit around with you?
Well, the good part about the Catholic, but I was going to say, the thing about that is weird. Is like I knew that story at like five. Like how that I wasn't, that we were mistakes.
Like you said, perfectly normal family.
Yeah, we were mistakes, but they'd be like, but you're the best surprise ever. So then in my brother's weird letters, he's like, you know, you weren't planned. You were a mistake. Yet, you know, you cost mom and dad all this money because you went to USC, you know, because the three of them didn't, the older three didn't go to college at all, but whatever. So it was just that kind of stuff. Oh, do I carry the Catholic stuff? I love that I was raised to have a relationship with God. And I love that
You've forsaken that in your comedy, though.
What do you mean I love God?
Okay, okay.
Jesus loves me.
Okay,
Jesus loves podcasts. He thinks I'm a hoot.
Okay.
He does not care about bad language.
No, okay.
He has got a great sense of humor.
Okay.
And so my Jesus is like down with just like living a happy life, being a good
person.
Your
Jesus is like Buddy Hackett or something.
He's just like, yes, he's totally, he's down with the gays. I mean, come on. Jesus probably was gay. He had 12 guys that all left their wives to be with him. I mean, come on, right. Whatever.
Well, something.
I mean, there's probably something there. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I think that I love, and I love Christian service. Like I love that I was taught to do
the ritual and the,
just
the
anything. Ritual. And so I always say, just do your Christian service, like a simple thing in this
for
day,
the community.
But there, you can do Christian service very easily in this day and age.
Yeah.
Tagging someone that has less followers than you, Christian service. Though people fight it, they don't want to do it. They don't want to share the wealth.
They,
don't want anyone to know about you. That you do. They do their whole podcast. You're like, could you at least do a swipe up, motherfucker? No, I can't. I can't. I just had Kyle Dunnigan on, hilarious comic, loved him, was so excited for him. And I go, oh my God, my Juicy Scoopers, who are not that big into comedy, I've introduced them to so many comics. I'm sometimes the first stand-up show they went to. Now they go to see all my friends. And I go, they'll definitely go see you. And you know, and I'm like, Ed, make sure you tag me because you've got like 500,000 Instagram followers. And he goes, no, I don't do that. I don't do any podcast. I don't support any podcast. And I go, oh, well, but he was an atheist, so he doesn't understand.
I see. That's right. I understand.
He doesn't know
logic,
how,
yes.
You know, there's karma, but there's also Instagram karma, like whatever, gram karma.
Yes.
So then all my Juicy Scoopers, I left that in, that he wasn't going to post about it.
Yeah.
And the next day after my show, he did a swipe up for Adam. And I go, you know what? When people say, why is it hard? Is it hard to be a female comic? And I go, no. It's been great. I'm so lucky. No, that's exactly
that's it.
What that's it is. That's exactly what it is.
The bro school on Instagram.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's rough. So I've never had you describe your parents to me. What were they like?
My parents were very funny.
What's your dad like?
Very gregarious and fun, but also horrible temper. He was a...
no trauma there.
He was a Marine when he was 17 to 18. Mm-hmm. I mean, 17 to 20, and then the war ended, World War II. Mm-hmm. Then he went to college and played football for Hofstra. Then he got into sales. Then he was like straight up Mad Men. He worked at McCann Erickson, and like literally there's scenes and furniture and everything from that show that I was like, oh my God, we had those same glasses. And like... the whole Mad Men thing, he lived.
Irish
then,
Catholic.
Yes, drank the three. Like every night was, you know, the wine and then the sherry after the wine and then the beer with the walk with the dog. Mm. And then, though, I don't think he was an alcoholic because then one day the doctor said, you can't have this alcohol anymore with this medication. And he just stopped drinking. Mm. And that was kind of it. He really never had like anything after that.
Did the doctor give him some pills to compensate for that?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure like he, you know, had a million ailments. So, I mean, sure.
How old was he when that happened?
Oh, like he died at 88, but probably by like 68, he stopped drinking or 65 altogether, like kind of altogether.
Interesting.
And he, but he had a very bad temper.
Mm.
So a lot of yelling and that was very hard.
Was that at you, your mom, the other kids?
It was very, he would call it he called it dad. He called it disappointment, anger, and then depression is what would happen.
We call Dr. Drew After Dark.
Which is also disappointment, anger, and then depression.
That's after the. That's when you finish here today.
Probably. Jesus, this is like, you know, I've never been to therapy for myself.
What's wrong with you?
I've only gone to therapy. My parents would bring me to their therapist. Another fucked up thing. Mm-hmm. Isn't that about the worst thing you do is bring your child,
like you said,
as an eyewitness to the fights?
Like you said, your family was perfect. Your parents were perfect. Everything was great growing up. Perfect.
You know what? This is what's great about my parents.
They were funny.
They were funny, and they thought I was fabulous. They did.
What's great about your parents?
It's kind
they
of,
loved me. They thought it, I was the greatest.
It's a little bit of an...
No wonder your brothers and sisters are jealous.
They hate it. Yeah. I remember the first time my dad yelled at me, the whole family did like a slow clap. They were like, finally, Pumpkin gets it. Like, so I think, but what... What is different for me that I think a lot of comics have that thing where like, oh my God, I came from a family of doctors. I'm such a disappointment. I'm a comic. Like the bar was so low for my family that like me being a comic was like really great.
And what was your mom? What was she like?
My mom was very, very conceited. She definitely thought she was beautiful, and she was beautiful. And she was a Badger Beauty from the University of Wisconsin. And she would tell people that all the time. They don't have that anymore because it's obviously like horrible and sexist and all that. Yeah. But she became a realtor when I was 7 and really worked hard and really wanted to give us everything.
That's nice.
Never was like into like labels, clothes or anything like, I mean, she always looked nice, but she was not someone that, you know, as long as her home was nice and her kids were getting a good education, that's all she cared about.
How'd she end up here from Wisconsin?
Because she met my dad in Chicago. She was straight up Mad Men. She was the copywriter and he hit on her. And then they got married.
Pregnant, then got married?
No.
Well, that's Mad Men.
No, do you know
that's
what?
That's the Mad Men
no,
thing.
You know what a virgin she was?
Mm. What a virgin was she?
They tried to do it and the hymen was so, or whatever.
Fibrous.
She had to go to a doctor.
And they have to cut it.
She had to go to a doctor.
We call that a fibrous hymen.
That's.
And they told you that too when you were 5?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. The being a virgin until you're married was a huge...
No, but the fibrous hymen and the...
Yeah.
That, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, they really had no secrets. And so, this was the best story. As my dad got older, then he started to drop some juicy scoop.
Oh,
okay.
Like
then I would say, Dad, are these things, the Mad Men, really true? Are people cheating like this? And he goes, actually, a lot of the junior associates were fucking the owner's wives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah.
Why say ooh? It's not like it was big. It was like a little cougar thing. It's not ew.
No, it's ooh because these guys were relying on their junior associates and they sweep in and...
Well, he said they were such assholes. He was like, good, go for it.
Oh.
He hated the main owners. But anyway, what was funny about my dad is so then he started to drop some juice. But a lot of the stories he would tell me over and over again. And the best story he ever told me was he's like... So, you know, they grew up in Long Beach, Long Island, New York. And he's like, you know, and my one friend and I, we went and we used to smoke these cigarettes in these caves or something. And then we saw these two older brothers of our friends. And I go, okay, Dad, like, I got to go. And he goes, all right, well, I won't bore you anymore. Anyway, they were fucking each other. I'll let you go. And I go, what? I go, wait a minute, Dad. I go, this story you're holding back, like at 86 years old, like I've heard every fucking boring story. Now, wait a minute. You and you're like, you're 10. They go to a cave. They see like two, like 15, 16 year old boys that they know from the neighborhood, like older brothers. And they are complete butt fucking. And I go, Dad, like, what happened to these guys? And he's like, Monty McKinney, you know, had 9 kids and whatever. O'Brien had 11.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, Dad, this is like a Brokeback Mountain. This is like so sad.
Yeah,
and he goes,
sad.
Oh, I think they were just experimenting. I'm like, well, have you fucked anyone in the ass? He's like, no. And I go, well, then I don't think it was that. How was the story never told to me?
He didn't.
I would have left 1 minute earlier.
He didn't break stride with, well, your mom. But anyways.
Never could not believe it.
Okay. Well, anything not quite as vivid that we could
share? That we can talk about?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was just, you know, dinner every night on the table.
Did he glamorize the Mad Men years? It was in Chicago, right?
Yes, but yeah. then they got, my mom started doing real estate here. And
how'd they come out here?
Because McCann Erickson hired them. That was the, and they like, mentioned this, that actually in Mad Men. That's how he comes out.
That's how Don comes out.
That's how he comes out. Yeah.
Because McCann Erickson.
And my
here.
Dad had issues, like the older character with the gray hair, he had issues with Roger with having any Japanese products because he fought the Japanese.
Oh my God.
So he was holding back, holding back, holding back. And then finally he was like, all right, I got to provide. And it's Toyota account and Kawasaki account. And then he went over to Japan, and when he came into the room, these executives were all soldiers with him on the other side.
Oof.
And they said, oh, McDonnell Marine. And they got up and they bowed to him.
Mm.
It was very interesting. And it's such a great story of like after war and capitalism and like, you know,
people getting on.
And it's never happened since then. But anyway,
well, in Vietnam it happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, where they, you know, where it was different and then they saw the way of like life could be better and appreciate that their lives
changed. Where was he in the Pacific? You know, what kind of ship he was on or anything? I asked because my father-in-law was on one of those.
I don't really remember. I mean, I know that he was preparing to invade some other place.
Well, he was a Marine. He was a Marine. Yeah, my grandfather
was practicing
in the Navy.
The parachuting to invade before they dropped the bomb because nobody knew about the bomb. And then he set out. Well, he knew he was going to die because he's like, they knew they were shooting ducks. They're floating down. And so he was like, I was ready to go. Okay, well, it's been fun 20 years. Like, that's it. Like, you just accepted that you're going to have to die.
Isn't that crazy?
And so then they all come home and nobody got any therapy or anything. And he never, ever talked about killing anyone or anything. Just funny stories. Oh, this guy got shot in the butt. This guy used a Purple Heart when he really didn't deserve it to sell suits 10 years later. Like, just little things like that. And then he goes, and then he, when he was sick and he had like this minor stroke or something, and I was visiting him and he was kind of coming out of it. He was like, and he basically told me the story of the man. He killed two men, two Japanese soldiers, and he saw their eyes and he had their wallet. He like kept their personal stuff. And
wow.
it was like so sad because you're like, this guy's 88 years old. This happened when he was 18 or 19. And this is what in his moment, you know, of coming out of a stroke and that he is sad and has guilt
contending
about.
With, yeah.
And so you're like, I can't imagine what they go through, you know, and especially back then when you don't have the therapy and you don't, you know. And so
when did comedy happen for you?
Comedy happened for me when I was really young. My parents would always, we don't mean to brag, but we had cable. And we were watching A&E Evening at the Improv when I was in high school. And we'd see Ray Romano and, or maybe even before then. And they would be like, one day you're going to be on that stage at the LA Improv where they tape it. And you should be a comic. And then I went to USC and I was like, no, I'm not going to be, you know, a waitress at 27 struggling. I'm going to, you know, like run a business. And then right after I got out of school, I had this awful job being an assistant buyer for Robinson's May. And it was really boring and it wasn't creative at all. And luckily for me, they fired me because I probably would have never quit. And they fired me. And it was one of those things where the girl's like, hey, can you come down to human resources up around, I don't know, 5 o'clock on Friday? I'm like, that doesn't sound good.
Oof.
And then I saw her earlier in the day, like coming down the escalator, and I smiled and she like looked the other way. Yes. And then I sat down and she goes, today's going to be one of my hardest days because it's going to be your last. And I was like, oh. And but then I told her, I said, well, actually, I'm taking these stand-up comedy classes and I have a show in a couple weeks. Would you like to come? And she came.
Oh, my God.
She came and she was so happy because she was like, you should not be doing this. Like,
that's
you should
why
be,
she fired you.
Yeah, you should be doing something that's like fun. And da-da. So I took a class. I took a Learning Annex class. And then from there, that woman taught like a 6-week course and you got a little. And then once you have like the 10-minute show is when then I could start building it and going around town. And then my first real job was writing for Keenan Ivory Wayans on his late night talk show.
I was on that show.
Yes, I think I remember.
Oh, that's so crazy. All I remember that show is you had like 9 different producers, EPs.
Well, when I went on for it,
Isn't that that show? Or was that?
Oh, no, he fired people all the time.
Right.
And so I knew that all the writers were getting fired, but I knew that if you got fired because it was Writers Guild, you got paid for 13 weeks.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, then fire me. Who the fuck cares? Yeah. You know? So I went and And in that particular instance, it was like they were he was looking for a white woman. So for me, that was just great because he had like six white guys and six black guys, one black woman. And so then I filled that. And that was, it was a weird experience. That was kind of hard. I just didn't know. And I didn't appreciate having a writer's guild job at 27 years old.
How cool that is.
How great that is. And how I should have like kept with that, but I still wanted to be a star.
When did the Chelsea thing happen?
The Chelsea happened in 2007. Yes, 2000. It's the summer of 2007. Like May is when we got hired. Then we had 6 weeks, and then I thought, okay, this will go for like.
It's weird.
13
I just realized I was the first guest on the because Peter Johansson was somebody I worked with years ago.
Oh yes,
and I think I was on a practice show in the early.
We did the practice shows.
Yeah, I think
yes.
I was on a practice show, and I brought in a DVD of this new thing I just.
You
finished.
Showed it to me. No, it wasn't a practice show. It was you, Laura Kilmartin. Is it Kilmartin? No, not Laura Kilmartin. Laura
Keitlinger.
Keitlinger, and you and me. And afterwards, you go, "This is crazy. I don't even know how legally this is going
to
happen."
To show this thing
and you showed it to me, and it was the
Celebrity Rehab.
Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah.
And yeah, we used to have.
Was that? It was a practice show, though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
I think I'd maybe
no.
did. Well,
it was
I
a real. No,
one.
It was a real show, but it was very much in the beginning.
Okay.
Because then we graduated to like having all comics, but in the beginning we had like. One news person, one comic, one expert. Then we went from two comics to one like different type of person, like you or a reporter or something.
Yep.
And then we just went all comics.
We had Claire Teitelman on here a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes. She's doing well.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah.
Now let's get back to the show. Well, it's now time to break your hymen, honey.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but you'll permit me to show you what are essentially from your mom's house, Christina's new obsession is TikTok, okay?
Okay, great.
And, slow down. Slow your roll, gentlemen. And your mom's house, of course, has videos, and the videos are of cool people, like your brother.
Yes.
Christina has, and I love being updated on all that's going on at your mom's house.
Yes.
And she has a new obsession of sending these to our group chat. She sends these to the group chat. Is that what happens?
Yeah. So, so Christina's on this website, TikTok, and, you know, every couple of days she just sends a huge batch of videos to me, Potter, and Tom. And, we just thought that, you know, maybe we'd share it with
I'd love to see it.
Now,
TikTok, explain what TikTok is. That where you're singing a song or what is it? It's just a short video, like a Vine. What is it?
I think it's really similar to that. I think it started off as kind of sing-along-y.
Okay.
And then people have just kind of created their own separate lanes into it.
And Nadav will have some questions for us to follow.
Got it. I love it.
Some comments or questions to follow. Here we go.
This video is just for Hufflepuffs. So if you're not a Hufflepuff, then please keep scrolling.
Scrolling.
Okay, so I told you motherfuckers you need to restock the hot cocoa when you're done with it. I can't deal with the bullshit in the school.
Fine.
So that's the first one. She's very in the Harry Potter thing.
Yes, I saw that she has that wand that retails for about $44 at Universal.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Huff Puff?
I have never read a Harry Potter, and I'm proud to say my kids are not nerds. They don't like to read at all.
How are your boys? Now, last time I heard, they were giving each other grief about Slumdog Millionaire. You're going to fall in the poo. No, you are.
My boys are 16 and 13.
Oh,
and
humanity.
My younger one, maybe you can answer this, because my younger one just goes, I hate Drake. He's the older one. I hate Drake. I can't stand him. And I just said, I go, listen, you've been in an abusive relationship
with
for
him?
13 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you've got about 2 years left and then you'll be free. I don't know what else to say. He doesn't really beat him up, but he just kind of bothers him. But they get over it quickly.
It'll flip. Something will flip.
Good. They're good. They're fine. But so wait. But yeah.
Not so much poo humor anymore?
Oh, yeah. We still love the poo humor. But they also like to, hate watch TV. Like we like to hate watch America's Got Talent and stuff like that. And that's fun with them.
Anything else you hate watch?
911.
Oh,
yeah,
cops.
Yes, some scripted shows we like to hate watch too, and it's really fun because a lot of people don't watch anything with their family. That's why I don't want a big house. I like that it's like
you're together.
I think that's a problem. Do you think that's a problem with kids and drugs? Like when the house is so big, they don't even know where the kid is. I was at a friend's house and the kid's like texting the mom.
Yeah,
I mean, at least I can hear my kids when they demand, make a sandwich for me, woman. I hear that, and I do it. because I go, I only have 2 years left.
I'm not saying bitch anymore. That's good.
No.
So more video.
Just call me woman.
Yeah. So we have quite a few of these. So at any point, if you guys want to tap out, just let me know. We can move on.
All right.
Fine. Since
it's all her?
I have to fucking do this.
No.
Oh, wait. I saw this one. Yeah. Because I follow Christine.
We have two videos from Bad Arena, and then the rest are all spinoffs.
Bad Arena?
But is this the same girl as before? Because that's crazy if there's two people that look similar.
No. Yeah, this is the same girl as the first video.
Thank God.
Fine. Since I have to fucking do this. Hi, guys. I'm Batarina. But please don't ever fucking call me that when you talk with me. Please call me Rena if you have to. If you couldn't tell, I'm a 21-year-old vampire. Just look at the fucking bat ears on my head.
Okay.
And one thing to definitely know about me is do not ever fucking piss me off. That's the wrong thing to do. Bye.
Does this girl know that Christina is making her famous? Because I saw this one and I was in love. I just like, I'm a vampire. Note the bat ears. I mean, it is amazing.
So we make contact with these people once in a while.
Okay, good.
In fact, there's a very important contact coming everyone's way soon.
Ooh, this is actually a really good game. Through this list of people I'm going to show you, why don't you guys pick who we reach out and contact?
Okay. All right.
So that's Batarina.
I'm Batarina's right now, number one.
Batarina's up.
We've only seen one person.
I got to get a pen here. Hold on.
Just waiting for my lunch. I ordered a buffalo burger. Yep, a buffalo burger. Okay, bye. Also, see you when it gets here. Okay, bye.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
He's coming in close.
I know you're not a dermatologist, but what the fuck is going on with his head?
I suspect that's a cyst. And who knows?
I'm going to say no for this one. I don't
way
he talks.
Keep going.
Okay, story time. I'm not a racist. Just because I say the N-word in a video, if it's there, I'm going to say it. I'm going to mouth it. I'm going to say it. I also have black cousins. I have black friends. And my brother's girlfriend is half black. I'm not a racist.
Oh, my God.
That's she's pretty cool.
Yes.
She's a cool dude. She's a cool person. And she's a fucking racist. She's as racist as you can possibly get. So here we go. So I can't vote for her.
Hey, thank you, man. T, let me see that wound. Oh, you'll be good. They'll heal up in the next day or so. We can't leave until this sandstorm goes away, though. So.
Okay. Wait, so they're in a sandstorm?
Right, so that's another lane of TikTok is like military response situations.
Yeah, but he has like a Nerf gun.
I think that's a prop.
So is he kidding about the sandstorm?
No, yeah, I mean, this is all clearly a script. Yeah, you guys like, you just said that you liked scripted
yeah,
shows,
yeah,
right?
He just, but she likes hating scripted shows, so this is not what we hate.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I'm still thinking about the girl who's the racist. She's a white supremacist, not a racist. I'm trying to figure out what she is.
You know what? I don't think she is. I think she's just really ignorant.
Right.
And she's really ignorant.
But that makes racist very often.
Okay.
Here we go. Keep going.
But she has black cousins. Okay.
Hello, this is Captain Marcel. My sister went down. I'm going down to the mountain to save my sister. Tell everybody I'll be back. I need a backup. I'll see you later. Bye. Gotta save my sister. Bye. This is Captain Marcel. Bye-bye.
I kind of like Marcel, but not enough to beat Batarina.
No, because I don't even think... Well, I guess he's like playing like a game, like pretending that his sister is being kidnapped or something.
I think it's just to get on TikTok.
Okay.
Here comes Captain Marcel during the day. She is actually a contributing member of society. So tell me if this changes your opinion at all.
And please, do not go outside yet. Wait till the sun goes down. Then you go outside to the park, ride your bike with your family. But please, stay in the house for a while. It's very hot. I'm going home, take a shower, and have a glass of water. I'm going to rest. Talk to you later. Bye.
So she's a crossing guard for kids.
Wait, so she's, I'm going to save my sister, Marcel?
Yep.
Wait, she's the same person?
Same person.
Well, then I'd like to talk to her. That's amazing character work. She's a crossing guard then pretends to be a man I guess she wasn't pretending to be a man. She just looked like a man in the other one.
What's her name again?
This is Captain Marcel.
Marcel, or just put crossing guard.
Definitely.
Okay, so she's...
And she's warning people about, being hydrated.
Neck and neck for me. Neck and neck.
Okay.
Here we go.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? So here's a piece of advice. If you are unemployed or about to be unemployed, make sure that you buy multivitamins. trust me on this one, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to help you on the long run. Because the reason why is because if you're unemployed and you don't have any money coming into your bank account, trust me, you need multivitamins. You have to. It will help you in the long run. It will help you on the long run. I promise you this one. Trust me.
Next.
First of all, he is trying to do hashtag ad. He's trying to get an, he's trying to be a partner for like Instagram or something, selling these vitamins. So I think that I like his hustle.
Okay. You have more insight than I do into these people. I just get sad.
In the long run, he said that a lot.
Okay, you're right. In the long run, I'm sad.
Hi, guys. What's up? This is Bethany signing into TikTok. What's going on? I'm over here at Starbucks. This is what I got to say about Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It sucks. McDonald's coffee. It sucks. Freaking Burger King coffee. It sucks. But Starbucks, it's 100-ly specifically delicious.
100-ly.
Okay.
First of all, I got a bunch of notes.
Okay. First of all, would not have seen her as a Starbucks spokesperson.
No, not right off the top. But it kind of grows on you a little bit, doesn't it?
The teeth.
Well, hold on. We'll talk about the teeth in a minute. What's shoved down her bra?
That is a pocket knife. Straight up pocket knife ready to stab a deer in the road. Like, oh my God. And
look at her glasses.
And I would say that
she has glasses that are lit up.
I would say that's not a way to get a sponsorship.
I would agree.
He's shitting on all the other places. Like, come on, girl.
Now,
Like to talk to her.
Tom and Christina have asked me a very astute question about why is it all the cool guys have teeth problems?
Yes.
It's sort of a marker. Like, if you can't take care of your teeth,
I think it says everything. But you know what I've noticed, though? The reverse of it, the overcorrecting. Now all the reality stars are getting big, huge teeth.
Like they're getting you
see Simon Cowell? He just got some new chompers. Like they already had veneers, but they're going back and getting bigger ones.
Oh, no.
To make big, wider smiles. And it's a little jarring.
Ew. That's crazy. I didn't even know about that.
Just start watching. Everyone's
all right.
Getting
who's the winner? Is it Marcel or Betterina?
Come on.
Yeah, I think Batarina.
I mean, is there any question?
I mean, Josh is going to have to go out there and walk into Batarina's cave, and we should be hanging upside down.
So now what happens? Now you guys call her on another episode? I mean, we can't get a hold of her right now, can we?
Well, Nadav?
No, we're not going to get a hold of her right now, but we will reach out to
Batarina. I mean, I would think she's pretty busy, like hanging from her ankles.
She's going to get a call from Juicy Scoop, just so you know. How do you guys get in touch?
I promise I won't steal a coveted guest like that. That's completely...
You could call her. They're going to go see her. They're going to get some video.
Oh, my God.
Right? Aren't you?
Well, listen, if they...
We'll take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, gentlemen, come on now. All right, so part of this show also is Loveline-esque.
I love it.
All right.
Questions and stuff.
Yeah, questions. Good. Let's start with... then we're going to go voice messages in just a second. But first, we'll go to a fax or an email. My boyfriend and I enjoy rough sex. Sometimes I'm convinced our activities have bruised my cervix, as it's quite painful for a day or two. My question is there a possibility that our activity could cause my IUD to shift out of place or even perforate my uterus?
Well, I mean, you're the doctor. I wouldn't know about any of that. I've never had an IUD.
Heather, not in rough sex.
I have a very tiny vagina, like a pierced ear, but I've never, you know.
Like a pierced ear?
Yeah, it's just shrunken so tiny, tiny, tiny.
Embarrassed? It's a shrinking vagina?
It's just so, yes. Mm. You know, I don't need any vag rejuve or anything. So I can't answer this question, but you go ahead.
And how many? After two kids, it's pretty good.
Yes.
You definitely bruise your cervix, and you can also bruise your ovaries and tubes even. Round ligament can get pulled and bruised. You could do something to your IUD. You could. I mean,
does that mean that the dick is so big that it's like going up into places in your insides?
It means they're pushing so hard that it's hitting up against the cervix with force. Mm. Doesn't necessarily have to be that big.
Okay.
Let's see. Hang on. There was a good one I saw here. Where is it? Now, guys, give me a second. It might be it's over here. For some reason, I got into the extra batch.
Do you want to kick into a voicemail while you look for it?
Sure, let's do that.
Hello, Dr. Drew. Thank you so much for Loveline and your many other endeavors like Dr. Drew After Dark here. I grew up homeschooled 20 miles outside of Tucson, super sheltered. So you and Adam Carolla were my sex education, for better or worse. Here's my question.
How dare you?
I've got this blanket. I don't know. I guess you call it a comfort blanket or maybe a security blanket. And I enjoy having it around, sleeping with it under my head, hanging it over my shoulder, just generally having it close by. But as of April, so I guess, what is that, like 2 months now, 2.5 months or something like that, I stuck it in a box because I'm married and, well, 35 is about 30 years too old to have a blanket.
Indeed.
It just struck me as kind of odd to this behavior. And so I haven't had it. It's jammed in this box. I don't long for it. I don't think I'm addicted. Putting it in the box hasn't been a problem. I haven't been tempted to pull it out.
Why are you calling?
And my aim is to leave it untouched for a year just to see where I'm at.
See if you can do it.
In a year from now, am I going to be, oh, it's so good to have you back, blanket. I don't have a name for it or anything. It's just a blanket. I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are.
All right, stop. So it's called a transitional object. Did your kids have transitional objects? Things they sort of cling to as a way of sort of dealing with the more autonomy.
I think it's just the Xbox now.
Yeah, the Xbox.
But no, there was never any like, okay. And same
so
with me.
There was some research out just about a week or so ago that looked into what percentage of Americans have still sleep with some sort of a transitional object, mm-hmm. stuffed animal, blanket, something. It didn't necessarily exactly what was from their childhood, but something that at least was a surrogate of mm-hmm. a transitional object. What percentage of Americans do you imagine sleep with a transitional object?
29%.
30%.
God, I'm good.
How did you know that?
I don't know. I was blown away. I just think I'm very good at stuff like that.
Yes, you are. 30% of people have this stuff. I think that's historically a problem. I don't think it's been like that ever. And it means it's something I've been suspecting for a long time that we're not going through developmental milestones.
I think as a mom,
your dad did not have a transitional object when he was parachuting into Guam or wherever the hell he was going.
I think as parents, like parents my age, we went home and watched Oprah our whole lives, and we saw what fucked up parents did to the people that were the guests. I think it's made us as moms harder to deal with our kids that might have weight issues because we want to be the opposite of the mom that made their kid anorexic. So sometimes we're not honest enough with our kids and their weight because of that. I think there's things like that. So I think as a mom, you're like, you want that? Okay. Like, you're not going to want it forever. You want to sleep in my bed? Well, you're not going to have me sleep. I'm not going to be coming over to your dorm room. So who cares if you're 10 or 11? I think that's a lot of what it is. And, you know, you see it now with the college scandal and the snow plowing. Yep. and everybody just, and you don't realize that then this guy, he's at 35, is going to have to put that thing in a box.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of fear in our parenting where we are fearful
yes.
of doing anything, fearful of hurting the kids,
fearful of
something happening
blamed.
To them. It was also that we treated them like snowflakes. We created that.
But you know, you'll get blamed no matter what you do.
Of course.
Like Drake's birthday is October 29th. I went into labor on the 29th and they said, well, you can go home and have the baby on the 31st, Halloween, or we can give you the, whatever you call it, the drip, and you'll have it by 5 tonight. And I go, well, let's have it tonight. I don't want him to be a weird Halloween devil baby. The other day I'm walking by and he's on his thing talking to his friend playing and he goes, yeah, my birthday could have been Halloween had my mom not taken some shot. And I'm like, am I seriously getting blamed for my fucking birth story? Like, no, from the moment you were born, I made the wrong decision about your life.
So the interesting thing in that story for me is that what we do with our kids is one way or another a reaction to our parents. Either we do the same thing or we do exactly the opposite. So you telling him when he was 4 that you took a shot to have him was like your mom with the hymen. You didn't have to tell him.
Well, I just thought, isn't this fun? You can have a Halloween theme, but you don't have to share your birthday
with
Halloween.
Yes, but you have to tell them about the shot and everything else. That's like the Hyman story, I'm telling you. So of course, it's the same thing as your parents. All right, here we go. I've always loved Loveline. About 2 years ago, I went deep into podcasting. Started with Joe Rogan, found YMH, then this one. What started out was a passive form of entertainment to laugh at the internet of strange people, quickly turned into a self-reflective whole of self-realization that I was well on my way to being one of those cool guys. While I love the cool guys, it was freaky to look in the mirror. Icing on the cake, watching your episode with Christina and her description of her mother and borderline personality disorder made me realize I exhibit some of those same behaviors. I decided to go to therapy, found a therapist while I was diagnosed. I'm working with a therapist using dialectical. Oh, he is borderline. He's using dialectical behavioral therapy.
Personality?
Which males are kind of unusual, but they're out there. I use cannabis in my experiment with cutting. which is a borderline thing. Your sister had this zone stuff. Did she cut too?
No. No. I don't really. I think my sister had several things.
I just wanted to.
Is there one just labeled bitch?
She was nice to me.
Oh yeah, she was so excited to meet you. Yes.
I just was a very, very eventful night. I just want to thank you and the YMH crew for doing it. You somehow shattered my reality in all the right ways. Comedians are messed up. Whatever. Anyway.
Well, that was nice.
Yes, I know.
The point is, it was under a success story. Yes. Was how your producer marked it.
That's right.
You seem like annoyed that it wasn't that interesting.
Well, I thought there was going to be a question at the end. What we do is awesome. When I have aggressive stimulation of my penis, masturbation, I get temporary swelling. It looks like a bump just under the head on one side of the shaft. It goes away in a relatively short time, and I have had this for a long time. Too scared to find out the reason beyond trying Google searches, and that says it's a lymphocele. Huh. I should abstain for a few weeks from it for it to go away permanently. See how men are?
Yeah.
So he's got a growth coming out of his penis because he's so hard on himself. Google says try laying off for 2 weeks. I can't do that.
So what's the other option?
What's the other option? I should abstain for a few weeks for it to go away permanently, which I'm sure would not actually work. You see, it wouldn't work, so I'm not going to do it, of course. I'm not sure that's a lymphocele. It could be. It also could be a tear in the sort of a sheath in the penis. You can tear it, and that can lead to scarring and Peyronie's. So because it could be the Peyronie's type thing, it actually is a good idea for you to see your urologist. And trust me, it's no big deal for a urologist. I want to get, you know, Nadav, I want to get Ashley Winter in here. She's like a 27-year-old urologist. She's very fun. She'd be good on Juicy Scoop, too.
Oh, cool.
And look her up there for me. And she would look at this and just go, you know, no big deal. She does surgeries on penises all day long. Ashley Winter.
That's kind of interesting that a woman, because I talked to my cousin, Peter's cousin is a doctor, and I said, and he's a OBGYN and now fertility. And he said, almost all the guys that are doing, you know, becoming your, you know, OBGYNs are gay. Or women, because they know that women want to be with women. And so I just find it interesting that a woman then would pursue penis work as her being a doctor.
But a lot of the, back when I was in training, all the gynecologists were males, and they were rough, like unpleasant to women exclusively, like really like misogynistic.
I mean, I just think every time, you know, if you're at a doctor and they're like, okay, you need a referral to a gynecologist. Do you want a woman? Oh, everyone's going to say a woman. So it's like, definitely this day and age, if I had a son that wanted to be a doctor, I'd be like, I just don't think you should pursue gyno. I think you'll have a hard time getting enough women to go see you.
I mean, I will tell you what they should say is just somebody good.
Yeah.
And if there's a female partner in there, just in case I feel I need it, that would make sense.
Do you know how many times I get an email because I was at SC during that gyno guy and... Mm-hmm. I never went to him, motherfucker.
Damn.
I know. I would come out to Woodland Hills and go to the gyno that my mom sent me to. But I mean, that's where I'm like, you know, nobody lies about that shit, because it's like, really, you know, would I ever go and pretend that I went to this person to try to be part of a class action lawsuit?
Right,
and like, no, anybody that's going did that. And I mean, God, is USC having some problems?
I know.
You know what's also weird about that college thing? Every time, I'm obsessed with it, okay? But if I ask kids that are graduating from Viewpoint or rich schools, I'm like, aren't you guys shocked? And they're like, no. Really rich people are not shocked by it. And I think what it is like maybe just being like a normal middle-class person that went to USC. It was like I got in the normal way. My parents could afford without financial aid. They're like, no, we'll get it. You know, we only have one home, but we will get the money. We won't. Why would we try to get financial aid? We're not that bad off. And I kind of think kids are raised whichever way their parents are. There's people that do fraudulent, you know, food stamps, and then their kids learn how to work the system. And then the super 1% privileged, then they learn from their parents that anything can be bought.
Yep.
If you have the money, you can pay for it. And then it's like people like me. I'm like, I'm the one who's sitting here shocked.
Also, I got exposed to that. I did some work for the Young Presidents Organization, and they had a guy on this panel I was on who was a consultant, and they were paying him tons of money. I thought, oh my God, this is like, I just thought of that kind of thought, oh, that's how this happens. They just escalate it. You know what I mean? There's more and more, and this guy gets away with more and makes connections, pays more people off, and it just becomes this scam.
Yeah.
So anyway.
You know the biggest scam, though, that I want you to look into?
Mm-hmm.
Is the thing that's the most interesting is the people that are paying thousands of dollars to have their child diagnosed as special needs so that they can take
that was part of the same thing.
I know, but it's really bad. And it only exists in some of the richest zip codes in America. One third of the Ivy League freshmen going in apparently have special needs, but none of them do. They're getting four Saturdays to take one ACT test that would normally a kid in Kansas would get from 8 to 12 to take.
Interesting.
In the day.
Interesting.
Very unfair. And then you wonder why everyone's dumb when they get out of college.
Yeah. Voice message.
Hey, Dr. Drew. I'm 26 years old. I've been having a problem for honestly probably a year and a half now where when I wake up in the morning, if I don't eat breakfast within about 30 minutes, I get so hungry that I feel nauseous, like I could puke. Growing up, I never had this problem. I never started eating breakfast until I was probably 22 or 23.
I would need a lot more information.
I know what it is.
What?
I think he is probably having coffee, and I think something in the fake sweetener is making him nauseous.
Could be.
Because I just did an allergy test.
Yeah.
And I would sometimes feel nauseous before breakfast, but I wasn't really hungry.
Yeah.
And it was that I shouldn't have like artificial sugar.
There's a lot of stuff nausea. Like that. Yes, a lot of things can do that.
So I diagnosed it.
That's a reasonable thing. Why the intense hunger though? It's kind of interesting.
No, he said he just feels nauseous.
No,
otherwise.
He said I get so hungry, I get nauseated.
Oh.
Yeah, but it may be two different things. He must be very hungry, get some coffee, and then get nauseated, right?
By the way, not a juicy voicemail.
Yeah, let's keep going. Give me a good one. Give me a good one.
No offense.
Hi, Dr. Drew. It's John here from Boston. Here's what I'm running into. Me and my wife, we have a, you know, regularly normal active sex life, I guess. I'm starting to get a lot of, like, marks on the side of my shaft after we have sex. She's very tight. And I'm a little bit on the wider side. Is it just a matter of just more lubrication? I get like friction burns on the side of my shaft there. Want to know if you have any tips to help a brother out there. Thank you. Love the podcast.
I don't, if it is a, what is it called, an anatomic disproportion, you got to kind of just take it easy. But sometimes herpes can look like this or can be caused by that. So you want to just kind of look into it. If there's if you have one of these lesions, a dermatologist or a regular doctor even just ought to look at it, because it's a weird thing with skin. I can never tell what people are talking about. They're not trained to describe it.
You get psoriasis on your dick?
Yeah.
So maybe it's that.
Yeah, it could be
the heartbreak of psoriasis. Another thing I've diagnosed. My God, why am I not in medical school?
It could be a lot of things. That's the point. And so I just, you know, it could be just friction for sure. But you know, just we need to look at it to know. One more.
Hey, Dr. Drew, this is Kevin. My girlfriend also watches the show, so I hope she hears this. Uh-oh. But while we are making love, she loves to be choked, and I have always brought that up to her that is a problem with her, you know, her growing up and stuff, and she always shrugs it off. So I would like to know, is being choked during sex a problem, or, you know, is it just something that some people like and some people don't?
Okay.
Well, my thought, first of all, is she probably saw it in porn, and so she cuts off on it. But as someone that's watched every episode of Dateline, I would not be choking your girlfriend.
No,
if she accidentally dies, you are done.
Yeah.
So.
And that does happen. Believe
yes.
me. It does. So here's the deal. Opiate addicts need that to sort of achieve satisfaction. There are people that have severe trauma do that too. Some people are just into it, like you said. So I'm not talking to her, so there's no way for me to know what's what. But generally speaking, it's either way to intensify when your brain has been sort of saturated with something like a opiate, or to distract from the actual intimacy. If she had some sort of famine or trauma, that kind of thing, it's a way to increase intensity. And intensity is not closeness.
What if she's like, either you choke me, continue to choke me, or I want to break up with you.
If you don't continue.
If you don't continue. I think you got to break. I think guys are really out of this thing, this trend of choking people. Mm-hmm. I think guys are at a risk of being in jail.
Yeah.
Like killing spending somebody. The rest of their life in jail.
How about the people that die with autoerotic asphyxiation?
Yes, or what if they're not dead, but they're like a vegetable?
Ugh.
And then what if that's your wife and now you have to take care of her forever as a vegetable because she wanted to be choked?
Ugh. Here's a email. We had sex and everything was normal, finished like normal. And when we cleaned up, I wanted to get rid of the smell so no one would notice. Closest thing to me was a container of Clorox wipes. So I used them.
On herself?
On him.
Oh.
Instantly noticed my penis felt like it was radiating heat like a very hot hand warmer. It lasted probably around 3 minutes, but then it went away. I haven't had any issues from that, and it's been a week or so. Is my body letting me know that I shouldn't do that, or should I find a poor solution for warmth? Did I find a poor solution for warmth in northern countries? So in other words, if you're cold in Norway, you can put Clorox on your junk.
How do you feel about Purell post-sex? Just kidding.
It's pretty sanitizer. Irritating, too. Thinking back on how Bert cleans his ears, can you recommend a better safe way to clean out earwax? I've tried flushing it out with water, but it doesn't seem to get the flushing systems from the pharmacy and flush it out. Don't use Q-tips. Use Q-tips? Leading cause of ruptured eardrums in the country? Leading cause.
You know how I told you, okay, there are a couple things. I do have the Q-tip disease.
Okay.
And I also have the back cracking thing.
That's right.
Do you think it's weird that I watch back cracking videos and people send them to me? You know how people like zit popping?
Yes.
I like the back cracking. I like to hear it.
It feels like such a relief.
I like to watch it. I like to watch people getting their back cracked.
Why?
It's a big thing. It's like a weird fetish. I don't know.
Does it worry you?
Yes, I think it's weird. And I won't even go to a chiropractor because I'm afraid of becoming a quadriplegic, yeah. But I like to see it. And I like to hear it. I like to take you know what I also like to do? If something comes with the poppers, like in a package,
yeah.
I like to twist it while I twist my neck and pretend that I'm hearing the cracking of my neck, but it's really just the popping.
Officially, Heather's a cool dude. Officially, you're here. You made it. So we appreciate that. There's all the earwaxing equipment you could possibly need. That's how you get the earwax out.
Yeah. By the way, there's a really crazy video of someone gets off on earwaxing cleaning. Somebody getting something pulled out. I couldn't watch it, but I've heard about it.
What I was thinking is that humans get off, I get not even getting off, they just get fascinated and fixated on just about anything.
Yeah.
You know?
It's whatever it is. I mean, the pimple popper lady is huge.
Yeah.
And then somebody was sending them, and I'm like, I only like hard blackheads. I don't like the pus.
This is you.
Yes. So there was one with an old lady. She had a blackhead on her back for, I don't know, 30 years. But it was like a little rock that came out.
Yeah.
And I went to bed for weeks after that, and I would think about it, about that little rock and how it just came out so perfectly. But then, you know, and then there's other things where I'm just, then like those back cracking videos.
What else? Like across your lifespan, what are the weird obsessions?
What? You have
across your lifespan, what are the weird obsessions?
Oh, so you said cross your legs.
No. Across your lifespan. Because it must have been stuff in adolescence that was extra weird, right? Because that's when the brain is like, can I compute?
The back cracking started when I was 13.
Okay,
I remember exactly where I was. Someone told me, I twisted on my desk and I was able, and my back cracked. And I go, ooh, that sounds fun. And I did it. And then I realized, you know, that I could self-crack a lot.
Ah.
And then I started to do it. And then I kind of learned how to do it to other people.
Was like pressing their
the
back.
The pushing, yes. Yeah. And then this is the worst part.
Here we go.
I don't even know if I can tell you. I introduced my kids to it.
Oh. Hmm. Are they obsessed?
They didn't get obsessed, but they did. Eventually, they said.
I was about to develop a genetic theory for this.
They eventually told me. I don't want to anymore. Almost like a weird molestation thing. Like, I don't like our weird sick game where you push on my little back.
Were the little backs more satisfying?
Yes. Because a little back, you don't have to do it hard and you get like a... like the whole thing goes. It's not like a big pop. It's like a lot of little cracks. And
see, I think Christina will love Heather. You got to get them together. They belong together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and so after they hit about 14, you just stopped.
Once in a blue moon, Drake will be like, "My back does hurt. Will
sometimes
you crack it?
Yeah.
You know, and I can do it. But yeah, the days of you know, I do their toes.
I'm so sorry for you.
I do their toes. I'm like, let me pull those toes.
So it's not just the bag. It's the popping and cracking.
It's the popping. It's everything. I mean, you know, never want to get around a neck.
Yeah.
You know, because that seems too scary. But like anything, twisties, you know, like where you twist your leg to one side and you twist your other.
Do you do yoga?
I mean, not really. I mean, I stretch and stuff. I get some self cracks myself, but not.
So it's not just the stretching. It's the,
no,
it's
there was one chiropractor I went to. It was a huge black guy, and he got more cracks than anybody about 14 years ago. And I've been chasing that dragon ever since. I just can't. Nobody else has been able to do it like that. And I'm like, I've had the best. Why try anyone else?
Why don't you go back and see him?
I don't even know where he is. And I think it was at a time like Peter, like it covered our insurance was covered, then it wasn't. I mean, now I can afford to go to a chiropractor if I want to, like hard cash rolling in it. But now I'm like scared.
Don't be careful what you say. Your brother might hear that.
Yeah. The one that I go to, then that'll be the problem. And I know that's awful to say, cause I know 99.9, but you know, you just need one story of someone. How do you feel about chiropractors? Do you ever go?
I don't go. No. I have an objection for soft tissue stuff. I object when they get into all kinds of medical stuff because it's like, no, you've never seen this stuff. You're not trained in it.
I kind of feel like it's sort of just a psychological thing because I never heard of anybody going to a chiropractor for like 6 weeks and then being like, you're good. You don't have to come back. Mm. So I don't really know that it like fixes anything.
I've seen some low back stuff that gets fixed.
Oh,
and
really?
Some shoulder stuff that gets better. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. God, I wish you could crack my back right now.
I'm pretty good at it.
Should we do it? You did it for me once before. Do you remember?
No, but
once at Loveline years ago during a break.
I didn't know there was a whole fetish attached to it, though. It's a little more uncomfortable knowing that it's a whole thing. I thought you like were in need.
I don't know.
Help.
I think it's a little inappropriate.
Okay.
Being that we're both happily married.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. Well, Heather, let's give all the plugs out.
So my show, Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, it's every Tuesday and Thursday. It's predominantly comedy, but it's whatever's juicy. If there's a juicy crime going on, a juicy story, I have lots of comedians as well as reality stars and regular guests that have something interesting to talk about. And then I do live shows. So my stand-up is great. It's very relatable.
Is there a website?
Yes, heathermcdonald.net. Your husband will love it. You do not need to drag your husband to the show. He will love it. I do not mail bash. My stuff is very relatable. And it's very escape. No politics involved in my podcast or my comedy.
There
so
is kids and husband stuff.
Everything. But it's still edgy and dirty.
And you do juicy. But you do juicy stuff, too.
Yes. It's just all juicy, all fun. Everyone loves it. And lots of dates coming up throughout the country. So come because, you know, that's I'm not. And then don't write me and tell me to come to your small town. You just are going to have to drive 2 hours. These are the cities I'm coming to. And, you know.
And that's that.
That's that. Just come to the big city. Make a weekend out of it. HeatherMcDonald.net.
There you go. Speaking of that's it. We'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.